Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for a God who loves you, that he seeks you, that he sought you first? I'm so grateful, trust me. In my life, I am very grateful that I serve a God that ran after me, because I wouldn't be here today if he didn't. Amen. And I can't think of a better place to be than in his arms. And I gotta tell you, these times are sometimes too far and few between, you know what I mean? Where we can get refreshed and restored. Please take advantage of this.
Sing a simple song of love to my Savior, to my Jesus. Grateful for the things you've done, my loving Savior, my precious Jesus. That you call me your own, and there's no place I'd rather be than in your arms, love. In your arms, love.
In your arms,
Señor.
Speaking to you right now. God, whatever it is, Lord, I want to say yes to. I want to obey. Let us hear your voice, God, this morning. Let us not just be hearers, but doers of your words. God, that we would just accomplish your will while we're here on earth. God, awaken us from the slumber, Lord, that is so easily, God, fallen into. Would you give us renewed passion this morning, God? That we could just go out there and do your will, God, and not grow weary, Lord Jesus, in well-doing, but continue, God, to do your will, God, with a passionate heart, empowered by your Spirit. We need you every day, God. We need you. Thank you for chasing after us, God. You could just take this time to just worship Him in our hearts, listen to His voice. Thank you for your Spirit this morning, God. Thank you that you never give up on us, God. Amen. Amen.
Okay, now we're going to get ready. Okay, cool. Because you were standing up there, so I was like, okay, cool. Okay. All right. So, yeah. Okay. Now we're going to get ready for the message. But with you saying there, I was like, okay, well, are we supposed to do something else? Oh, I need that. Thank you. I need that.
I like that.
I need that. I need that.
You need this?
Uh-huh. I'm a woman. I have a lot of stuff. I'm not Pastor Doc. And I could talk a lot and all that kind of stuff. You know, typical woman, you know, like bling, like stuff. And let me see. I didn't think about where I was going to put this and hold this so it won't fall. I know. See, that's, hey, you're doing my sermon for me. Knock it off. Anyways, okay. Have that here just in case. And okay, there goes the rod. Oh, man. It turned into a steak. Did you see that? Can I have it, though? Thank you. I've got to think of a different. I didn't think of that, you know. I was like, okay, where do I put it? So can I do this? Is that cool? Do you mind if we pray really quick before, since, you know, there was a rough start there? Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you so much for today, Lord God. And I just ask and pray that as I share your word, that you share it, I mean, through me. I just ask and pray that you will speak to me and speak to each one of us, Lord God, what you want us to hear, what you want us to learn. Lord God, I am here to be used by you for your will, like we were praying earlier. Here I am. And we were singing earlier, here I am, Lord. So speak to us, because we each want to grow closer to you and feel your love and your presence. I thank you for the power in your name and in your holy word. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been doing this sermon series on the names of God, right? And Pastor Doug started off on Father's Day with our Heavenly Father. Then the next name he went into was Prince of Peace. And last week, he shared about the Bread of Life. Well, I don't know if you get the idea here, but the name I'm covering today is I Am. God started saying that about that in the book of Exodus. That was the first time that he shares about his name that we see. But before all time, before anything was ever created, there was nothing, right? I Am existed. So can you show that? Oh, thank you. Okay, so you can't, on the computer, it looks great, you guys, but the I Am in the stars part, the heavens, you can barely see it, but it's on the computer, it shows up really cool. So it's really awesome. But before anything in the darkness, before anything was ever formed, the I Am existed. God, our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, who is also the Word, and the Holy Spirit. They existed, the Holy Trinity. Then God created the heavens. We see this in Genesis. And this is an awesome satellite picture of Israel. And then he created the heavens. We see that in Genesis. God spoke. God called. God blessed. God said. Things came into existence. And then in the Bible it also says about Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the I Am. And we see over here, the I Am. What did Jesus do for us? He died on the cross for our sins, for our salvation. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And there's power in his name and in the blood. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, "In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. He was present originally with God, and all things were made and came into existence through him. And without him was not even one thing that made that came into being without him." God spoke, and the heavens and the earth were created. Genesis. So then we go on to see in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, it says how God said, "Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, in our likeness." So God created man and woman in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. Then the Lord God formed man from dust. And that says it in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And he says he took them out of the ground, out of dust. He formed man. Well, then woman, okay, was made from the rib. But he breathed breath into them and gave life. So if everything that God has created, he chose us to be created in his image. He was full of love and holy and true. And he said, "I want to create man in my image. I want them to share in my glory. I want them to share in my inheritance. I want them to share in my truth and my holiness. I want them to be filled with love, and I want to have an intimate relationship with them. I want to share my glory. I don't want to keep it to myself." So the Hebrew name I Am means to exist, to breathe, to be in the sense of existence. So because even if we do not see him, he is. He exists. He is breath. He is life. We see in Exodus 3, like I mentioned earlier, the name I Am. Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 15 says, "And Moses said to God, 'Behold, when I come to Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, well, what is your name? What shall I say to them?'" Because Moses is going, "Now, wait a minute. Okay, God, you're choosing me to be their deliverer. Okay, you've seen the Israelites. They are like suffering and they are in slavery. And you're seeing their trials, their tribulations, their bondage, their sufferings, and you're choosing me. Okay, do you remember? They remember me as in the family of the Pharaoh. They don't know that I am with them." I mean, most of them, except for his parents and family. But so he's going, okay, you're wanting me to go there, and you're choosing me of all people? And God's saying, yes. But God had a holy, precious name called the I Am. And he says, I want you to tell them this, Moses. Tell them that I am who I am and what I am. And I will be what I will be. And he said, you shall say this to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And then he says to Moses, this you shall say also. The Lord, the God of your fathers, of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, like we sang in that song earlier, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And by this name, I will be remembered to all generations. So we are blessed to know the I Am. And generations to come are blessed to know the I Am. In Exodus chapter 4, God said, the I Am also tells him that he'll be with him. He'll teach him what to say. Don't be afraid, Moses. Have faith and courage. I'm with you. But he goes, you know what? I also am going to show you my power. And I'm going to show them my power. So he goes, what do you have in your hand, Moses? Moses says, well, I have this rod. Remember, he was shepherding sheep. And he goes, okay. I want you to throw it on the ground. So Moses throws it on the ground, and it turns into a serpent. Well, what was really awesome was this represented the serpent, because in Pharaoh, they had the serpent on their crowns, which represented royal divine authority and a power. Well, God had him, and he showed that. Moses knew what that meant. It meant power. It meant divine authority. And he says, okay, pick it up. So he picks it up again by the tail, and it turns into the rod again. Now we see in Exodus how God shows his power as Moses goes to them, tells them, hey, the I Am sent me, and they're going, oh, wow. But he also shows his power. One of the first ones we see the power of the rod is when he goes to Pharaoh and he goes, hey, you need to let the people go. And the Pharaoh's going, yeah, right, sure. But he's going, no. You know, God has saying that's enough. Let my people go. I want them to be free to worship me, to serve me, to love me. I want to have an intimate relationship with them. It is time now. I see them in their bondage, and I want to deliver them. So Moses, by instructions by God, because remember, God said, I'll tell you what to say. I'll tell you what to do. I'm with you. And he tells him to throw it down on the ground. He throws it on the ground, and it turns into a serpent. Well, Pharaoh goes, okay. He talks to his guys, his priests, his magicians and stuff, and he's going, okay. And so they go, okay, we can do that. So they put their rods down on the ground. They turn into serpents. God, once again, speaking to them in their language of what represents power and authority, his serpent, God's serpent, the rod God used, ate their serpents in representation that I'm all powerful. I am the I Am. I am greater than anything. There is nothing, not one thing that is more powerful than me. And you will let my people go. And then we go on. And in Mark chapter 14, verse 62, oh, before that, I'm sorry. Moses, right? He's going. They're going to the promised land. They get them. Another one, the cool one, was when it shows the sea being parted, right? That's another one where the rod is seen in the power, freeing the Israelites and then destroying the enemy. That power was there. So they're going on to the promised land, but Moses has to die. And there's reasons why and set into motion, but he has to die before the people go into the promised land. And God still doesn't let them alone. He continues to have them be led with Joshua. Well, then we come in to Jesus, the I Am. Jesus comes, and God sees us in our bondage and our slavery. And he's going, gosh, I love you guys so much. I love you guys, and I'm here for you. And I'm going to send my son. He's going to do the ultimate sacrifice for you because I am so pure and holy. There has to be a washing of blood to come to me. And so he's going, God, I love you. Here's Jesus, my son. So Jesus comes from heaven because Jesus is God. He is the I am. And he's saying, you know what? I love them so much too. Here I am. I'm willing, Lord. I'm willing to come to earth in a humble situation, in a humble way, and show them my love for them. I am all powerful. Everything is mine. But I'm going to come in humility for them, be an example to them, and show them. So then Jesus dies on the cross. And in Mark 14, 62, Jesus is explaining to them about the I am. Jesus said, I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand. Oh, I'm sorry, there goes that rod again. I'm so sorry. It was great representation, but there it goes. Okay, it's power on the floor there. Watch out, people. God's power is right there on the floor with you. And he says, you'll see me coming in the clouds of heaven. But there, when you look in the Bible, it says, when he's saying, I am is here, it goes back to Exodus 3:14 if you look at the original words. Once again, the Bible is alive and true. It's all blending. It's all, there's a book that we were reading about in our Bible study in Beth Moore, and she was saying how there's this awesome study that shows all the prophecies that are fulfilled, that it's blended together. Blended together, showing the power of God. And Jesus approached and breaking the silence to them in Matthew 28, he says, all power, all authority, all rule is given to me, heaven and earth. Remember that the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you a rod, and that is my word. I am the I am. Do you remember in Hebrews 13:8, and the four square churches have this, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We see that constantly in the Bible where it says, I am, I have been, I will be, and I'm going to be. I always exist. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Acts chapter 2, verse 21 is what Pastor Doug has been going over with us. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus came. He came for salvation. And salvation means also representation, not only being saved from our sins, but it also means deliverance. It means healing. And many times in healing is restoration. The blood, the name of Jesus, and the word of God, power that he's given to us here on earth as we're on our journey into the promised land. God will guide and direct us with his holy word. Jesus, the I am, gave us the Holy Spirit too. With the Israelites, God also showed him his power by the representation of the cloud by day and the fire by night. He was constantly with them. But how did Moses have all this power? Was that time he spent with him? He spent a lot of time, intimate relationship, conversational time, talking and listening to God. Like we were sharing earlier about that, the prayer and preparing yourself and laying all your burdens down to God. He's saying, I'm here. Well, Moses told him about the frustrations of, hey, God, you have me in this position. This is not easy. And these people keep complaining and stuff. And he would just talk to God. And God would guide and direct him and help him. He was always, always with him. And he showed him that. Well, Jesus then gave us the Holy Spirit, right? Because Jesus is so awesome. He loves us so much. He's going, you know what? I can't stay here, guys. I can't stay here with you. Because you know what? If I go to heaven, I die for you. You are going to be even more powerful. You are going to have the Holy Spirit. You are going to have my name, which is all powerful. You are going to have my blood cleansing you and giving you power. You are going to have my holy word that is going to give you power. You will be powerful in my name. But you know what? Because I love you, I'm going to do this. You're going to do even greater things than I did so I can bring glory to the Father. It's all to glorify God. It is all to his glory. I love you. I hear you. I see you. I am with you. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I was a Christian. I became a Christian at 18, and I would read. I was hungry then. I was really hungry. But then stuff comes on, right? And I was crowding him out. And I wasn't spending as lot of time in the Word. Maybe a minute sometimes, sometimes not even doing a devotion. And I wasn't feeling close. And I was saying, God, you know, I want to have that hunger for your Word. I want to have that hunger for your power. I want to have that hunger for your healing and restoration. I want to have that hunger of you in my life. I need you. But I'm not making it a priority, me personally. And I share this with the ladies. I would do different devotional books and things like that, not spending time in the Word as much. Maybe a minute, 5, 10. I kept saying, God, I'm hungry though, and I want more. And eventually, as in Philippians 2:14, it says, the Holy Spirit will give us a desire to love God and to serve Him and grow closer. God heard my heart. God heard how I was allowing things to crowd my time with Him. And God gave me a hunger that cannot be quenched. And I am prioritizing my time to spend more time with the Lord. Intimacy. Did he know where I was at then? Yeah. He loved me. And he was there. And he said, still, okay, 1 minute's better than nothing. I was always praying and praising him, but that intimate time in his holy word, I was not doing. And then I started spending more and more and more time. And I just, his word became alive and true again. I don't know about you, but maybe sometimes, like we were asking, prepare your heart, come to the table. And sometimes maybe you're gone, oh, man, I'm just not getting anything out of it. Still read the word. Still read. It is powerful. It is our rod. It is the authority of God. I want to read to you a study. And for all the scientists out there, people, this is from them. They were doing a study, NASA program, a space program, I mean, and it was in Baltimore, Maryland. And Mr. Harold Hill, the president of the Curtis Engine Company, talks about this, about the space program, and talks about this development. They were getting ready to send out a satellite. And he says, I think one of the most amazing things that God has done for us today happened recently here to our astronauts and the space scientists at Greenbelt, Maryland. They were checking out where the positions of the sun, moon, and planets would be 100 years and 1,000 years from now. We have to know this so we won't send up a satellite and it'll bump into something later on in its orbits. So we have to lay out the orbits in terms of the life of the satellite and where the planets will be so the whole thing will not bog down. So they put all this information into the computers, and they ran the computers. Back and forth it goes from centuries, forward and back in time. All of a sudden, it stops. There's a red signal. So they call in the experts, and they say, well, what's going on? What's wrong? So they said, well, usually this means either the information fed into it is wrong or the results compared to the standards. They look into it, and they go, wait a minute, we're missing a day. So they're going, okay, in elapsed time, they're missing a day. They're scratching their heads, pulling their hair out. I personally wouldn't pull my hair out. That's what he says here, and I'd keep it in. Maybe I'd scratch my head. And they're going, okay, we can't figure out the answer. And he's going, okay. This one Christian man, one of the scientists, goes, hey, I remember in Sunday school. Awesome. Sunday school's awesome. And he says, I remember the story about Joshua. And he goes, it was back in the Old Testament. So he gets out his Bible, and he goes, I remember him saying that about the sun standing still. So they go, show us. So he gets his Bible, and in Joshua, what they read, fear them not. I have delivered them into my hand. There shall not be a man of them to stand before thee. This is obviously King James. So he's going to, this is in Joshua 10, 12, and 13. So Joshua was concerned about what was surrounding. He was surrounded by the enemy. And darkness fell. If the darkness fell, they would be overpowered, right? They're good in the battle. But if darkness comes, they're going to lose the battle. And Joshua's crying out to God. God's saying, okay, Joshua, I heard your cry. Don't worry. I'm with you. Have faith. Have courage. I'm with you. So, guess what? It then goes on to say, the sun stood still and the moon stayed and lasted not to go down about a whole day. So the astronauts and scientists said, there's the missing day. They checked their computers going back in time and to where it was written about the time where Joshua, and sure enough, they found it. That's where it was. Except for, oops, it wasn't quite an entire day. That time back in Joshua's time that is mentioned in the Bible when they found it in elapsed time was 23 hours and 20 minutes. So they're going, okay, wait a minute, this is not good. We still need 40 minutes. These little words in the Bible, and they go back and they saw that. They go approximately a day, almost a day. So they go, okay, we still need 40 minutes. These little words in the Bible are very important, but they account, they still needed, they could cause trouble in 1,000 years from now, okay, because they needed 40 minutes. So 40 minutes had to be found. And then the man, again, the Christian, goes, hey, you know what? I remember that the Bible said, it said that the sun went backwards. So they go and they look in the Bible, the holy book, and they check out and they found it in 2 Kings, where it says Hezekiah on his deathbed was visited by the prophet Isaiah, who told him that he was not going to die. Hezekiah asked for a sign as a proof, and Isaiah said, do you want the sun to go ahead 10 degrees? And Hezekiah goes, no, that's easy. I want the sun to go back 10 degrees, but let the shadow return back 10 degrees. So Isaiah spoke to the Lord, and the Lord brought the shadow back 10 degrees. 10 degrees is 40 minutes. There was the missing day. They were astounded. This is showing the power of God's word. There was another scientific study that was done. They were trying to find out about the power of words, and they took some water in a crystal-like type tube, and they spoke death, 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 death several times. Then they put it in ice, and it formed this ugly, dark, gray, demonic-looking thing as it crystallized. Then they spoke, took another, and they spoke life, light, life, light several times. Put it in the ice, and it formed something brilliant like a snowflake. And they further went into the study, and they were going, now, why is this happening? Well, they looked into atoms, and the atoms are formed by words. Atoms are words. Everything that is created is formed by word. And they were seeing how powerful the word is. Then these scientists were not trying to get people to be Christians, but they were pointing out that these Christians already know the power of the word of God. And they quoted in Mark chapter 12, and I've got to find it. I have it all written down. Oh. Do you have it, Deb? Did I give that one to you? Okay, in Mark chapter 12, 11 and 14, and it says, I think it was 11 through 14, but it says how the word is all powerful, all true, the power in his words. I found where I have it. I want to say it to you in the way that it is. And it says in Mark chapter 11, I'm sorry, not 12, chapter 11, verse 23, it says, that which you say and believe in your heart and do not doubt, it will happen. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, right before that, it says, have faith in God. Jesus was talking to him and he says, you know what? Have faith in the faith of God. He's telling them, you will do even greater things than I do in the future because of me, because of the power in my word. This is how powerful. In Joel chapter 2, it says, and chapter 2, verse 11, it says, and the Lord utters his voice before his army. His host of Christians is very great, and they are strong and powerful
who execute the word. Execute means to carry out, to do it. God has given us the power of his holy word for us. He's given us the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our guide, our director. And the Holy Spirit in the word of God says he will remind us of things. We need to spend time with God. We need to spend time in the holy word. We need to spend time with him. The rod, remember? In Hebrew is the word matah. It comes from the word meaning branch. A rod, it's also correction. This is God's way of saying, hey, this is how you can get on your journey to me, to the promised land, to heaven, our heavenly home. That's where we're going for. And God says, here you are. Here is my word. It is powerful. You know how the Jewish people will speak and pray their words out loud? Pray the Bible out loud in prayer form. The Holy Bible, obviously, it's Old Testament. But there's power. They already know how powerful the word of God is. So we've got the rod. That is the word of God. The rod is our branch. The rod is, it's also called like a lance if you look up the original term. And a lance is a sharp throwing like rod. It has a very sharp tip. Well, remember, and also in the Bible, it says how the Bible is sharper than a two-edged sword. That's in Hebrews 4:12. This is powerful. It also talks about the staff, you know, so it represents that, helping us on our journey, walking. And it also talks about the bread of life, which Pastor Doug talks about. It is our food. It is our source of our strength. It is our power. That's why God's saying, I want you to be powerful. Jesus is saying, you're not alone. I sent the Holy Spirit to be your comforter, to be your guide, to be with you. And I gave you the Holy Word. Are we not blessed that we have the Holy Word of God with us? We are so blessed, and I pray that it will always be a freedom here in America. And we need to pray that freedom in other countries. But God's saying, I'm with you. I'm always with you. You see the creation? I am. I am the Word. I am truth. I am light. I am holy. I am with you. I am your rock. I am firm. I am your deliverance. I am your fortress. I am here for you. I am is with us right here, right now. If you will join me in this song, Jesus, the I Am, I called it. You know that prayer, that song, Praise the Name of Jesus? Praise the Name of Jesus. He's my rock, he's my fortress. Well, if you'll see, I changed the words a little bit. We'll start off with the regular way, but we got to remember the rod, the power of God, is right here with us. Speak it out loud. We saw that in the examples of the scientists. There is power in words. That's why, have anybody heard of Norman Vincent Peale, which said, you know, the power of positive thinking? He was going from the power of God's holy word. That's why God says whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is holy, whatever is lovely. Think on these things. Don't speak and think on negative things. Think on me and my power. I am with you. I am love. You are beautiful. I have a beautiful plan for your life. I know the journey isn't always easy, but here I am. I have given you the Holy Spirit. I have given you the power in the name and blood of my Son, Jesus Christ, and I have given you the power of the Holy Word to be with you. I am with you. Jesus is our deliverer. He is our rock. He is our fortress, but we need to believe him. Remember that saying, I believe it, God settles it. You know, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. But no, it should be God said it right here. God said it. That settles it. It is our choice to believe it or not. We have the inheritance of the kingdom of God right here, right now, with us in the power of the Holy Word. And we need to claim it. I have been guilty of not doing that over my own life, over the loved ones that I care for, over the lost people in this city. In Joel chapter 2, it says, use this, execute this word, and we will have the power of God in this city right here, right now. We need to claim the power of the Holy Word. Jesus is our rock. He is our fortress. He is our deliverer. And I'd appreciate it if you would join me in this song. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name. praise the name of the Lord God. And I just encourage you guys to use the power of his holy name, to use the power of his holy word, to use the power of the blood of Jesus over your lives. Right now, we're going to go into the offering time. And in your bulletins, you had the connection card. If you could take that connection card out, and if you need to update it with any information regarding, like, maybe your email, address change, phone number, first-time visitor, go ahead and do that. And remember, we need to always pray for those that we love, besides giving God everything that we have of our lives. I'm going to pray here for the offering, over the offering. Thank you, Lord God, so much for this blessed time to be able to return to you a tenth. And I remember reading about a tenth as a whole. It is like the song that we sang earlier. We are giving our whole life to you. We are giving a part of you. I thank you for this time to tithe and also to give. We just ask and pray that you will bless this time of offering to you. I thank you and praise you for this power that is represented as you fulfill your holy word when you say that when we tithe, you will shower out your blessings upon us so much. Help us, Lord God. Bless this time. We thank you and praise you for this time of offering and giving unto you. You are awesome, Lord God. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. As Karen was preaching this morning, I was thinking about my it's okay to have a favorite grandchild. How many grandparents do we have here? All right, I have six. And there is one that just kind of stands out for me right now. And I've brought her here a few times now. She's this curly-headed little bundle of joy. And she usually spends a couple of nights with us a week. Now it looks like she'll be spending a couple of years with us. And I get a call at work at about 4 o'clock when she's... awakened from her nap, and she can't wait to tell me something. It sounds something like, "Papa, Papa, coming home?" And I just get to realize just the excitement that that a child has. Certainly for a father, but in this case for a grandfather, I've become known as Papa Fred, and I kind of like the name. And the song I want to play for you, I've played once before, and it's called "Child of the King," and that excitement that a child has for her father, and the excitement that I have. I mean, I'm telling you, I pull into the driveway and I can't wait to turn off the engine. And I sit there and go, "Okay, God, here we go." And it's about 2 hours worth of fellowship with this child whom I have this relationship with. And it's beautiful. As I witness the order of the world you have made, and
and taking its beauty and splendor. My heart fills with wonder, and I'm struck by the truth of a Father so loving. Kindness and caring expressed in all things. And I ask, who am I? And I hear you reply, and I am a child of the King. From the depths of the seas to the mountains on high, the sounds of the dawn and the blaze in the sky. You filled all the earth with a beauty that cries. So I ask my Lord why. A soft answer floats by, saying, I am a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. Because of your mercy and grace, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. My heart will be ringing, forever singing, that I am a child of the King. Vapor of life and it's through. In the scheme of all things, a solemn muse. Life is vanity, nothing's new. But thanks to the Son and the work He has done, it's a new life from living the day. It has meaning and purpose and never will end. By your love, by your truth, by your word, now able to say, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. Because of your mercy and grace, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. My heart will be that I am a child of the King, how can it be that you'd give me a thought? You're the maker, designer of all. You're so far above me, why on earth would you love me? Why would you hear me whenever I call? From the moon and the stars to ladybugs' wings, the birds in the treetops, the songs that they sing, your kindness and caring expressed in all things. And I ask, who am I? And I hear you reply, that I am a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. Because of your mercy and grace, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. My heart will be ringing, forever singing, that I am a child of the King. That I am a child of the King. That I am a child of the King.
Thank you so much. Isn't it awesome to know that as we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're his child. We have his inheritance, his power, his love is with us. If you haven't trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is the day. Don't wait. Come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you can come to anybody on the prayer team that was up here. You can go to me. You can go to the other Christians that you know. And they will help you pray that prayer of salvation. And then you have the power with you of the name and blood of Jesus and the power of the rod with you. And he will help you on your journey here on earth on your way home to the promised land. I want to pray a prayer over you before we go. Now may the Lord, the I am of your hope in Jesus Christ, so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing with hope. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God, the I am, shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. We thank you and praise you, Lord God. All glory and honor and praise go to you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys have a great week and have the power of God, the rod, with you. Amen.